You're listening to Let's Talk Macro.
Hello, welcome to the Let's Talk Macro podcast, and this is Srijit Balasubramanian, economist in the fixed income fund management team at IDFC AMC. Today, we'll speak about something very topical, India's union budget for FY24. Now, before we get into the key takeaways and what it means for the bond market, let's first look at the economic backdrop. Now, India's response to the pandemic, both monetary and fiscal, was not huge like that in advanced economies. Take the case of the US, for instance. Now, we had discussed in some of our previous episodes about the heavy policy response there, being one of the major drivers of inflation and why the Fed is hiking policy rates well above its long-term neutral rate. In fact, the FOMC hiked policy rates by another 25 basis points on 1st Feb, and ECB is also hiking rates aggressively. So despite India not having, not going overboard with its policy response, it had to face the commodity price shock and the monetary tightening in advanced economies from last year. Now, this seems to have settled down, although there is still some divergence between market expectations and the Fed's own commentary on further rate hikes and any cuts this year. In the meantime, if you remember, India's central government cleaned up its budget by stopping FCI funding from small savings and so on, a couple of other measures as well, at a time when corporate and bank balance sheets also started looking better. Unfortunately, just weeks after India's FY23 budget was presented last year, the onset of the Russia-Ukraine war actually upset our budget math. And the government had to increase, you know, fertilizer subsidy, cut excise duties on motor fuel, apart from the higher expenditure it incurred on its extended free food grain program. This year, the budget was presented in the context of a slowing global economy. Now, rate hikes, like we just mentioned, in advanced economies, and also slowing domestic wholesale price growth, which is also due to strong base effects. So, drop in nominal GDP growth from the inflation-induced 15% last year was expected going into the budget. Now, this nominal growth has been budgeted at 10.5% for FY24, which is likely a tad above market expectations. The expectations are actually more in the 9 to 10% range. If you look at tax revenues to start with, if you look at the remainder of the current year, that is Jan to March, they're not estimated as conservatively as it was last year. Now, this is not to actually say it is very optimistic, but there may not be a final upward surprise like last year. Last year, if you remember, that upward surprise had also reduced the year-on-year revenue growth required in the following year to meet the budgeted numbers. So that might not happen actually this time. Secondly, tax revenue estimates for FY24, that is the next financial year, are also a bit towards the upper end of likely outcomes, given nominal GDP growth itself is a bit on the higher side, like I just mentioned. So this is on revenue broadly, and on expenditure. Yeah, obviously, subsidies in FY24 fall from the very high levels because of the higher outlay on fertilizer subsidies, etc., due to the Russia-Ukraine war. This is expected. This fall is rather expected. And the revenue expenditure, if you look at it, rises only just 1% year on year. But then again, total expenditure, if you see through the budget, is actually estimated to rise 7.5% next year. And this is already from an already, higher level. This is primarily because capital expenditure is budgeted to rise 37% year on year. And that's quite a steep rise to 10 trillion rupees next year. Now, couple of things that one will have to note here is, this includes, every year, some one-off capital support to public sector enterprises, like, for instance, next year to oil marketing companies, the National Highways Authority of India, and so on. And also, just like last year, some part of this capex, in fact, this time, I think it's around 1.3 trillion, is earmarked for states to spend on capex. Now, this is actually important because state's share of capex funding has been falling more recently. Nevertheless, if you look at the budget numbers, the focus on capex continues, and share of capex to GDP actually rises further to 3.3% of GDP in FY24, which is good. Also, if you ask me, the implicit assumption here could be that a meaningful private capex cycle may not occur very soon, because given global uncertainties and so on, so the government capex must happen. So the government could actually be thinking on those lines. All said, if you look at the numbers, the fiscal deficit is actually budgeted to fall from 6.4% of GDP in FY23 to 5.9% next year in FY24. But if you actually look at the level of deficit, it rises marginally, although as a percentage of GDP, we see the consolidation happening. Now, this is consistent with the envisaged fiscal glide path. So if you remember, the path was to get to a deficit below 4.5% by FY26. And if you look at the funding of this FY24 deficit of 5.9%, one, the share of small savings is expected to pick up, as the government has also doubled the maximum investment limit in one of the schemes, which is the senior citizen savings scheme. And two, the share of net market borrowing actually increases again to 66% from 63% this year. And in fact, it was much lower if you look at it pre-pandemic. It was only around 51% in FY17. Now, how are the gross GSEC government securities borrowing of the 15.4 trillion is well within the range of market expectations. And there were no surprises even for the current year. Apart from the fact that net T-bill borrowing alone this year has been increased by 50,000 crores. That was the only mild surprise, if you ask me there. Now, apart from these numbers, what I'll probably do here is just step back and we can take a look at some of the interesting things which have sort of inferred from the budget on the overall public sector. One, the total public sector deficit. So that is, if you look at the central government fiscal deficit plus state fiscal deficit plus the resources of public enterprises, excluding their internal resources. Now, by that, what I mean is the borrowing of the PSEs from various sources. Now, if you add these three up, it is actually totaling 9.7% in FY20, that is pre-pandemic. And this increased to 15.2% in FY21, which is actually a spike as the center cleaned up its FCI funding and brought it on budget. This is estimated actually to fall back sharply to 9.7% in FY24, which is the pre-pandemic FY20 number, as I just mentioned. As the center moves along its envisaged fiscal glide path, state deficits have also fallen sharply. And this has also contributed to the fall in overall public sector deficit. Now, for example, if you take state's fiscal deficit, it actually picked up to, 4.1% in FY21 during the pandemic. It fell to 2.8% in FY22. And we expect this to fall to around 2.4% in FY23. This is our estimate. Now, this is mainly because states have actually not been spending, particularly on CapEx. Now, compensation for GST revenue shortfall from the center has ended. But the fact is that the states are just not spending compared to their revenue growth. So if you just look at the state's monthly numbers from April to November, for that 8 months, state's revenue actually grew by 25% year on year. But the CapEx has actually only grown by 6%. So the market borrowings have also been consistently falling short of the calendar that they put out. The shortfall is actually 2 trillion in FY22. And it's already 2.3 trillion, in FY23 so far. Even the cash balance is also, which is actually invested in T-bills, is also very high. So the main point here is that the states are actually, consolidating their deficits by cutting capex, at a time when growth is about to slow and a meaningful private investment cycle has not yet kicked in. So states should also, essentially need to focus on capex. Another point is on the public sector enterprises. Because prima facie from the budget, it seems like there is some mild reversal in their consolidation, which had been happening in the previous years. So their deficit actually picked up this year from the budgeted numbers and actually moves up a bit next year. So for example, there seems to be an increase again in the support for the Food Corporation of India, FCI, from 55,000 crores in FY23 to 1.4 lakh crores in FY24. So that is one area where the center should not probably go back heavily because they actually cleaned up a lot of funding of PSEs and made the budget more transparent and credible, and they did that only very recently. So this is on the public sector deficit, that one thing that stands out. Finally, on the total borrowing of center and states, the central government borrowing number, like I just mentioned, through dated securities is estimated at 15.4 trillion next year. And this is after 14.2 trillion this year. But that aside, if you look at states borrowing again, next year it could pick up if their fiscal deficits rise a bit, because it's it's a pre-election year, SDL redemptions are higher next year. So there could be a possible shift from the pattern in the last 2 years, again, like we just discussed, of a consistent undershoot of the borrowing calendar. So that could actually reverse probably next year. So this implies the center and states gross borrowing combined, which has actually been moving up each year, after moderating from its peak in FY21, could actually now rise beyond FY21 and go well above the pre-pandemic borrowing levels. So FY24 total gross borrowing number of center and states together is estimated to be around 79% more than the pre-pandemic FY20 level. Even if you do it even if you calculate it on a net basis, the total borrowing as a share of GDP it will actually be 1.1 percentage point higher than the pre-pandemic level. So whatever measures you look at, for instance, even if you look at the total outstanding government liabilities as a share of GDP, that also remains high, right? So if you, you know, just to give you some numbers, if you actually look at the total government liabilities, it was 82% of GDP at end of June 22. Now, this is down from the peak of 89% in FY21 and FY22, but it's still, you know, quite well above the 75% of GDP number pre-pandemic. Nevertheless, in terms of fiscal deficit to GDP, we are still consolidating. And the good thing is also that if we do a basic calculation of how fiscal deficit could evolve in FY26, or rather till FY26, we see that if nominal growth is in the, let's say, the 10 to 11% range, tax revenues grow in line with nominal GDP growth, and expenditure does not rise very sharply. So let's say around, you know, 5% growth each year. Center could actually be on the fiscal glide path and get to the envisaged below 4.5% deficit in FY26. But like I said, it would depend on economic growth and tax revenues. And so it'll be important to continue focusing on not just tax revenues, but also asset monetization. So that's our take on the union budget. So fiscal consolidation, focus on capex, revenue estimates, which are not as conservative as last year, and possibly not towards the upper end of likely outcomes. States need to focus on capex, although overall public sector has been consolidating quite fast. And we hope the mild increase again in off-budget funding of public sector enterprises is really not a pattern. Finally, the center could be on track to meet its fiscal glide path target for FY26 if growth doesn't disappoint materially, and also if it chooses to focus on, you know, both tax revenues and asset monetization. In the meantime, we need to have an eye on borrowings because, you know, including that of states, this has been rising. That's it from us for now. We'll be back with another episode of Let's Talk Macro. Until then, thank you. Goodbye.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.